Episode 19, Power in the Storm. A long time ago out west, a storm rolled off the mountains. The huge thunderclouds rumbled and growled. Leaves and twigs tumbled through the air. People looked up and scurried inside. Windows and doors were shut, and everyone hunkered down and prepared to wait out the massive storm. Everyone except for John. This man was different. In a civilized world, he refused to give in and let go of his wild side. The first drops of rain began to fall. A great clap of thunder shook the ground, and John reached up for a branch and started to climb a tree. The giant Douglas fir John picked was the tallest tree in the area. Soon, John was perched high in the branches, as close to the storm as he could get. The wind tore at his shirt, the rain pelted him in the face, and the tree shuddered and swayed as the storm unleashed its power. John swung back and forth, clinging to the branch for all he was worth. He had never felt so alive. Later, he wrote about this experience. "Never before did I enjoy so noble an exhilaration of motion. The slender tops fairly flapped and swished in the passionate torrent, bending and swirling backwards and forward, round and round, tracing indescribable combinations of vertical and horizontal curves. While I clung with muscles firmly braced like a tiny bird on a reed, I kept my lofty perch for hours." John Muir became a famous naturalist. His essays and experiences inspire thousands today to put down their phones and go outside in nature. He was bold, fearless, wild, and powerful. He was a man. Men are drawn to power. Like John Muir, we know that power is in our nature, and when we see it, we want to tap into it. That's why men love sports like football and rugby. That's why manly movies have heroes with big muscles and superpowers. That's why men surf massive waves, jump out of airplanes, ski straight down mountains, and climb trees in storms. God created man in His image, and God is powerful, and He gave some of that power to men. God created Adam outside of the garden. Then He told Adam to subdue the earth, to rule it. He told him to reproduce and fill it. Now it takes power to subdue, to rule, to reproduce, and fill. In Psalms 1, God tells men how to tap into their God-given inheritance of power. He says there's three things powerful men don't do, and two things they can't live without. When a man gets those five things down, he becomes as powerful as a tree. Psalms 1 says, "Great blessings belong to men who don't listen to evil advice, who don't live like sinners, and who don't join those who make fun of God. Instead, they love the Lord's teachings, and they think about them day and night. So they grow strong, like a tree planted by a stream, a tree that produces fruit when it should and has leaves that never fall. Everything they do is successful. But the wicked are not like that. They're like chaff that the wind blows away. The Lord shows His people how to live, but the wicked have lost their way." Jesus is the blueprint for men. He's the perfect example of powerful manhood. Unfortunately, the church doesn't have a great record of capturing the masculine side of Jesus. In the Middle Ages, most of the artwork that depicted Jesus portrayed him with wavy long hair, delicate features, and wispy, far-off looks in his eyes. Even churches today have paintings where Jesus is cuddling a lamb or holding kids or draped across a smooth stone with his hands gently folded in prayer. Now, that's not wrong. I mean, it's great for kids to know that Jesus is safe and kind and gentle, but it's not very manly. And that's only one side of Jesus. There's another side, a more powerful side. The night before the cross, Jesus prayed for hours by himself. Then a mob of angry men shows up in the middle of the night to arrest him. One of his best friends betrays him, and then the men who swore to die with him just hours before turn tail and abandon him in the dark. His best friend denies that he knew him three times. He's cuffed, mocked, lied about, beaten, and dragged all over the place. They rip out pieces of his beard. They strip him naked. They flog him with whips. They smash thorns on his head. Then they force him to carry his own splintered cross. The pain of betrayal, of injustice, and of torture gave Jesus the perfect excuse to quit. But you want to talk about power? Jesus was attacked in every possible way, emotionally, physically, mentally, even spiritually. I mean, for the first time in his life, Jesus was separated completely from his Father. He felt the excruciating guilt of shame and revulsion of every single one of our sins. But he did not falter. He did not waver. He did not quit. That's power. That night, Jesus told his disciples how to have that kind of power. In Matthew 26:41, Jesus says, "Watch and pray so you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body's weak." Watch and pray. That sounds an awful lot like Psalms 1. Love the Lord's teachings and think about them day and night. It's about focus, watch, love. Then that focus shifts into thoughts, pray, and think. Out of those two roots spring powerful actions. Today, there are so many scary things that are trying to steal our focus. Our grocery shelves aren't as full as they were a few years ago. Our borders are wide open. Social media silences anyone who's out of line. There's executive mandates that are attacking American freedoms and our constitutional rights. Employers are forcing vaccinations in blatant violation of HIPAA and privacy laws. People are dying in the hospitals. And when we look at everything happening around us, it's so easy to get scared and forget that God created men to be powerful. That's why we've got to remember the old story from the Bible. There were 12 spies who snuck into the promised land. And in Numbers 13, we hear their report. They said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It's a land filled with many good things, but the people living there are very powerful. Their cities are large and strongly defended. We even saw giants there." 10 spies focused on the problems, on what was wrong, and that focus poisoned their thoughts. In the very next verse, these spies say, "We cannot attack those people." But Joshua and Caleb had a different focus. Verse 33 says, "Caleb told the people near Moses to be quiet. Then Caleb said, 'We should go up and take the land for ourselves. We can easily take that land.'" Caleb didn't just say, "We can." He said it would be easy. He focused on the promises. He remembered what God had done for them in the past, and he knew those giants, they didn't stand a chance. You are a man. You were created to stand strong in the storm. But for a long time, we've had it too easy here in America, and Christian men have grown soft and timid. Many of us have forgotten that we were created by God to subdue and rule. We've forgotten that we were created to be powerful. And now we have giants in the land, tons of problems and fears to focus on. But we got a choice. Now, today, you can whine and cry, or you can watch and pray. You can focus on the problems or the promises. You can pour fuel onto your fears or your faith. Because men, the storm is coming. But where are the powerful men? Where are the men of backbone who will stand up against injustice and lies and abuse? Where are the men of character who will speak the truth, refuse to compromise, and take the heat? I'll tell you where they are. Right now, they are watching and praying. They are soaking up God's word and preparing for the fight. And you still got a chance to join them. The storm's not here yet, but the clouds are gathering. The rain is beginning to fall, and the thunder is already rolling across our land. And when the storm breaks, will you be ready to stand? Will you be powerful?